You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. We made it to a Friday, and it's another Traeger Meat Friday. In fact, Chad from Traeger's outside creating a feast, another feast for the Danettes. We got a fire raging outside in the in Traegerville there. This looks toasty. This will be great. Come on in, stay a while. Tony Dungy will join us coming up. Also, the last player to win consecutive Super Bowl MVPs will join us on the program. You guys already know who's joining us, so you know the answer to that. I like McLovin going, wait, who's joining us?
Well, I was like, Mahomes hasn't won back-to-back yet. I didn't even know. Are there a lot of, is he the only guy who's ever done it, Bradshaw?
Bradshaw, just over 40 years ago, and Patrick Mahomes has a chance to do it on Sunday. So Bradshaw and Joe Montana are tied for second all-time among quarterbacks with four Super Bowl wins. And if the Buccaneers win on Sunday, Brady will have won that many after turning 35 and give him a total of seven.
Stat of the day. Here comes that
what?
Stat of the day.
Top. Don't overcompensate for yesterday, Seton. You kind of fell asleep at the wheel there with some great stats of the day. What did I tell you?
Take umbrage with that statement, sir.
We had a great stat of the day yesterday that Brady has only scored 3 points in the first quarter of all of his Super Bowls.
Stat of the day.
Do we ever give umbrage? Like, we'll take umbrage. Do you give umbrage?
It seems unfair. It seems all one-sided.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever given umbrage, but I've taken umbrage.
Here, I've got too much of this umbrage. Why don't you take some? Yeah. Why don't you give some back to the community?
Yes, McLovin.
Trivia question. Who won the Super Bowl MVP that year that the Niners beat the Bengals 20-16, the close one?
That was the John Taylor? No, that was... Well, they played the Bengals twice and both were close.
Right. It was 1989 season.
1989, that was in Detroit. And that's when Kenny Anderson was the quarterback for the Bengals. And Dan Bunn.
No. That's the 81. This is Boomer, I think.
Boomer Esiason is the quarterback. John Taylor has the game-winning touchdown as Montana leads him down, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You would think Montana.
That's what I thought. That's why I was wondering why he wasn't the back-to-back, because he won it the following year. But
Wait.
Yep.
It wasn't John Taylor.
Nope.
So the game-winning drive, Jerry Rice won it one time. I think that was against the Broncos.
Nope, it was Jerry Rice.
He won the
MVP? That's what I'm seeing here.
Well, I thought he had a great Super Bowl against the Broncos in New Orleans.
He sure did. There's a bunch of Super Bowls where he went crazy.
Yeah. Wait, is Jerry Rice a two-time Super Bowl MVP?
I can't. Oh, okay. In this game, by the way, now I see why he was MVP. He had 11 catches for 215 yards and one touchdown.
Okay, but what were Montana's stats? Because he led him down with a game-winning drive and won the Super Bowl to John Taylor.
23 for 36, 357 yards, two TDs. That's pretty good.
Okay. I mean, Joe never threw an interception in the Super Bowl.
But Rice went over 200 yards, so I guess that's pretty good, too.
No, it's great, but usually you give the quarterback the nod.
I think you were saying yesterday, like, now it's the quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, they just vote for the quarterback almost no matter what.
Well, that's why if Travis Kelce has three touchdowns and has 12 catches for 132 yards, I still feel like Patrick Mahomes is going to win the MVP. Yeah, Paul.
I have a list of every Super Bowl MVP and their performances, and there's somewhere... You look at the numbers, like, that's the MVP. Like, Fred Biletnikoff is Super Bowl 11, great wide receiver for the Raiders. He had four catches for 79 yards and no touchdowns. That's our MVP. Joe Montana got the MVP of Super Bowl 16. He threw for 157 yards and one touchdown. But he was a Super Bowl MVP. Otis Anderson, running back of the Giants, Super Bowl 25.
Against the Bills.
Yes. 102 yards rushing.
Having been there, covered that game, the fact that the Giants' running game was so good and kept the Bills off the field, you know, I would have given it to the defense. Like, it's weird, or it's sad that we don't recognize a group when it comes to most valuable. It's got to be one singular person. And I think there have been times when the New York Giants defensive line against the Patriots and Tom Brady, Michael Strahan and company, absolutely positively the MVP, in my opinion. When the Denver Broncos beat the Green Bay Packers in the Super Bowl, the offensive line controlled the game and should have been MVPs. Do it collectively. Let them have the MVP truck like one day a week, like each lineman gets it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Do something different. Doesn't have to be a singular person. But you did have one player from a losing team, Chuck Howley, and that was, what, Super Bowl V. How is it that a guy, I don't care how many tackles you have, why wasn't Jim O'Brien the MVP? Because he kicked the game-winning field goal. But they gave it to Chuck Howley. Yeah, Paul.
Chaz Howley, the linebacker, two interceptions and a fumble recovery.
Okay. All right. I mean, that's great. But you're the most valuable player?
Joe Montana in the Super Bowl III, he had 206 yards passing and no touchdowns. There's your MVP.
Check Bart Starr's numbers because he was Super Bowl MVP the first and second.
In Super Bowl I, he had two touchdown passes. In Super Bowl II, he had 202 yards passing. At the time, that's like 350 now. He had a touchdown.
Max McGee didn't win the MVP?
I guess not. No, he had the two touchdown receptions against the Kansas City Chiefs.
So you were at the wide right game, the Scott Norwood game?
Yeah.
You're like a Super Bowl mush. Like something crazy happens when you're in the building.
Or like you're like the Forrest Gump of Super Bowls.
Something like that. But I remember going out on the field and I had a producer go rogue on me at ESPN. I had a camera crew. I was supposed to do interviews. And I had my producer went rogue and he's a huge Giants fan. He started doing all these interviews because he was trying to do... He wanted to get in the business, and he wanted to have an audition tape. So imagine we're running out. It's crazy. You know, the game ends. It's chaos. And I'm looking for my crew. And Craig, my producer, took the crew.
And I'm Kilborn?
No, not Craig Kilborn. But I'm looking around going, where is everybody? And so I eventually find the guys, and I go, what are you doing? I mean, I'm supposed to be doing these interviews. And he did the interviews. And he wanted to have a resume tape that he could actually get in the business and thought, hey, this is a good time to take the camera crew and start doing interviews.
Did he get a job? Is he on air somewhere?
He did get a job. I think he got some on-air work. But, you know, we never talked about that. We never talked about it. Because I understood what he was doing, but I was supposed to be doing it. And, I mean, that was a ballsy move when you do that. You're like, wait, where's the camera crew? And it's crazy on the field where you're trying to get people doing interviews. And then I was like, all right, I lost my camera crew. All right, welcome to the program, already in progress. We'll talk to Terry Bradshaw a little bit later on. And Tony Dungy will stop by as well. And now that the Super Bowl is getting closer, conversation starts to shift. When we have guests on, when we have, you know, former quarterbacks or coaches, players, you know, I want to have fun with this. You know, you want to break down the game. There are other places where you can find that. You know, the X's and O's. Plus, it's always dangerous for us in the media when we're trying to give you the X's and O's. You know, hey, that five technique or cover four, take the top off the defense there. I don't know the language. Don't want to try to convince you that I know the language. There's certain things I know, and then there are a lot of things I don't know. Therefore, we have people on that we can ask questions to. But you start to look at this, and there are some football topics that obviously jump out as we go into this weekend. The Chiefs have a revamped offensive line. And that offensive line might be the difference of whether they win or lose this game. How well they can protect Patrick Mahomes. Because we do know Tampa's got a very good defense. And they can get after the passer. Just ask Aaron Rodgers. And if they can get Aaron Rodgers, they can get Patrick Mahomes. Also, there's the Tyreek Hill question. He had 269 yards during the regular season in a game against Tampa. But These are just some of the questions that are going to come up, and hopefully we get some answers for you. But right now, I just hope it's a great game. No, that's it. Give me a great game. I would never bet against Tom Brady. And as much as I look at the Chiefs and say, how do you stop the Chiefs? But we've seen offenses stopped. Great offenses stopped in the Super Bowl. When you think about it, greatest show on turf, stopped. Buffalo Bills, Jim Kelly, stopped. Undefeated Patriots, stopped. The Rams against the Patriots, great offense, stopped. You can't imagine Kansas City's offense is going to get limited. I don't think Tampa can outscore them, get in a shootout here. But, and this is just my observation from, you know, a million miles away, but you see strategies here. I like the fact that Steve Spagnuolo, who was the defensive coordinator with the Chiefs, knows Tom Brady. He's faced him five times. He's won three of those times, and he's limited him. Can he do? You have to have the personnel, because when he was with the Giants, they had the personnel to go after Tom Brady. Do you have that personnel with the Kansas City Chiefs? Those are just some of the questions that I have. You know, do you pick your poison with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce? Well, if that's the case, I'm not picking. I'm just saying Tyreek Hill can't beat me, because Tyreek Hill can beat me for 70 yards. Travis Kelce, you know, it's either a guillotine or water torture. Tyreek Hill is the guillotine. Tyreek is going to beat you, and it's going to hurt. Whereas Travis Kelce, it might be 5 yards, 7 yards, 9 yards, 13 yards, 5 yards, 8 yards, 22 yards, touchdown. You might get that from him. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, remember how he started the season? How is he featured in this game? I saw the over-under for rushing yards. I think it's 30 yards for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I thought that was interesting. Feels like it's going to be a passing game. I thought Leonard Fournette would play a large role, because running the football, catching the ball out of the backfield, he seems a little bit more rejuvenated. It almost feels like an LSU Leonard Fournette instead of a Jacksonville one. But there's a lot of questions here. You know, Brady has not looked great in the postseason. The defense has looked very good, and I think the reason why they are here, the main reason is their defense. Kansas City's defense always gets lost in the shuffle, but that is an opportunistic defense. And I think Chris Jones, one thing to keep an eye on is the defensive coordinator with the Chiefs is really good at kind of isolating, getting some pressure through the guards. Chris, that means Chris Jones. And can he be the guy who puts a lot of pressure up the middle on Tom Brady? You know, because Brady up the middle, he can't move. On the sides, coming around the ends, you know, Brady can step up in the pocket. But if you put pressure up the middle, that's when you're going to really have an impact on Tom Brady. And hitting him even when he throws the ball, hit him. And then, you know, the same with Patrick Mahomes, you got to let him know that you're there. McLevin, you got a poll question for me?
We have a few over here. I'm going to let Paulie say this first one about what is the most surprising storyline if you went a year back.
Oh, you know what? Paulie came in today. Now, I got Jerry Rice with one MVP. He did not win that MVP against the Broncos in New Orleans. Todd.
I don't believe he did. And I don't care about San Francisco. They beat the crap out of Denver. I don't care who the MVP was in the Niners.
But I do, Todd.
I know. I'm only aware of one Super Bowl win.
What did Jerry Rice do in that Super Bowl against the Broncos in New Orleans? Because that was, didn't they put up 55 points or something in that game? Something
55-10.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I'm going to guess that Joe Montana was the MVP. Oh, you know what it was? I think Jerry Rice said that he should have been the MVP. Maybe that's what it was. But, yeah, he won three Super Bowls, but he was Super Bowl MVP in one of those games. Paulie came in today, and he goes, I have got a hot poll. And I go, okay. Not exactly what I thought I would hear today when I walked in.
A lot of that going around this week.
Yeah, Paulie's got a hot poll.
Yep.
And he wants to share that with you. By the way,
in America,
Dan Patrick Show newsletter is available daily at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. Sign up at danpatrick.com. Enter your email address in the box that slides out in the bottom right corner. You're good to go. And you get all the goodies that come every single day from this award-nominated program. Here is Paulie's Hot Poll.
If I told you a year ago, which of the following would you have not have believed the most? I guess is the way I'm saying it.
Okay.
Tom Brady would play in the 2021 Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Rob Gronkowski, who was in the middle of retirement, would play in the 21 Super Bowl. Or Antonio Brown, who was out of the league, suspended, commissioner's list, lawsuits, just got cut from the Patriots, no place to play, would play in the Super Bowl.
Considering what Antonio Brown had said and the way he acted, and there's stuff off the field, legal issues, he called out the commissioner. I believe he called him a racist. Not that that's going to keep a team from signing him, but it did. I would say Antonio Brown, there was part of me that was hoping that Gronk wouldn't come back because he had been through a lot and a lot of surgeries there. And what made you retire that sport and then you want to come back to that sport? But it's Tom Brady. Tom Brady, the reason why Antonio Brown is in the NFL, playing in a Super Bowl, plain and simple, is Tom Brady. And the same with Rob Gronkowski. Absolutely. Brady with Tampa, not far-fetched. When you consider Gronk and Antonio Brown, feels a little bit more far-fetched. Now I'm getting Todd to give me all this information on Joe Montana. He was the MVP. He threw for 297 yards and 5 touchdowns. That's why he was the Super Bowl MVP. It was Jerry Rice, who I think maybe had 3 touchdowns, who thought that he should have been the MVP. Does that sound right? I don't know what Jerry Rice did there, but Joe also completed nearly 76% of his passes, 13 consecutive passes during the game, and he won the league MVP, most valuable player in the same season. But yes, Paul.
I saw a clip that I thought was really interesting. Frank Clark, the defensive lineman for the Chiefs, they asked about Tom Brady as in the pocket. He goes, well, Tom Brady's the most frustrating kind of quarterback because he's just standing there. And you're going in, you're going to strip sack him or you're going to hit him, and he dips his shoulder 6 inches and your hand misses. Or he steps 1 foot forward and you miss. He goes, Russell Wilson's gone. He's like, other guys are gone. He goes, but Tom Brady's not an escape artist. He's a subtle movement guy. And Frank Clark says, that's what frustrates guys like us.
And also, when we talk about, you know, the most talented players to ever play the position, Brady's not. I mean, athletically, he's not. Not even close. But that's where it has to be frustrating for somebody like Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is considered the most talented quarterback, athletically gifted, although I don't agree with that. And now you have Mahomes in there. But for these other quarterbacks who have all this talent, well, what's the difference? Now, you can say it's the system. You can say it's the head coach. You can say a lot of different things. But when it comes to Brady, what does he do well? I think he's always had this chip on his shoulder that he was never going to be outworked. He had to outthink. He had to have the intangibles that were there. And it might be just understanding the nuance of stepping up in the pocket. You hear these younger quarterbacks. Sam Darnold famously said, you know, on a microphone, I'm seeing ghost out there. Younger quarterbacks see ghost. They think there's somebody there. They think somebody's at their feet. Somebody is closer. Objects in the rearview mirror are closer than what you think. But Brady understands that. And that's where you have to be able to compartmentalize. When you're ready to go back to pass or you get the ball and you step up in the pocket, you have to be focused. You can't be thinking around you, at your feet, coming in on the sides there. And that's what Brady does. And that's something that, can you teach it? And how many quarterbacks have that? And you know, not to slobber all over Brady, but we never talk about his athleticism. There's nothing to talk about. Like, he didn't get slower. He was slow. And if you depend on your athleticism, at some point you start to lose that athleticism. What did Tom lose? He still throws as well as anybody in the league, except for Josh Allen and Mahomes. I mean, as far as arm strength, he still has that. Whereas these older quarterbacks, where it's Roethlisberger, Breeze, Phillip Rivers, they lose it. And Tom still has that. That's why he's still successful, is his dedication to still being great. And a lot of times you'll have an athlete who achieves something, and then they go, let me exhale here. You know what? Let me soak all of this good stuff in. I just think it motivates Brady. LeBron, it motivates LeBron. I joke with the Danettes that once they won the title and the confetti came down, I said, I guarantee you he's already thinking about next season and who he can add to the roster. And look at what he did. Season ended, he was thinking about who do we add to the roster. Nick Saban has never stopped. He may take a day off. They win the national title, he's on the phone right after the game. He's calling recruits. It never stops. But for a lot of people, it does stop. Sometimes it's subconscious. Sometimes it's conscious, but you go, yeah, you know, kind of going to ease a little bit here. I'm going to chill a little bit here. They take some time off here. These guys, they never stop. LeBron doesn't stop. Brady doesn't stop. Nick Saban doesn't stop. The greats don't. Yeah, McLovin.
Do you buy into leadership in the fact that everybody plays better when Tom Brady's a quarterback? Just like all of a sudden, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope can shoot now that LeBron's there. Like, just like everybody steps up their game because of his whatever commitment to excellence.
Well, I think you want to step up to their level. You don't want to be the reason why he doesn't win another championship. And I would have unbelievable confidence if I stepped on the football field and Tom Brady's my quarterback. In a big game? Absolutely. And LeBron, same way. Michael Jordan's teammates famously worried about getting the look from Mike. Now, fear can be good, but to a certain point, though, you don't want to be out there kind of like, I don't want to mess up. But, you know, if I look at what the Patriots have done and all of the different players who've been there, they knew that they had Tom Brady. And there's something to be said for that. And Kansas City fans are going to have that same feeling for the next 15 years. You got Patrick Mahomes when you take the field. We'll take a break. I blah, blah, blah enough. We'll get to phone calls here. Paulie's hot poll question. And we got a stat of the day, play of the day, all of that coming up. Tony Dungy will join us. And Terry Bradshaw will join us as well. 24 after the hour, back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. When it comes to hiring for your business, there's one solution that's been, well, advancing its technology for years now, and it's ZipRecruiter. And you can try it for free, ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. Once you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 top job sites. And then ZipRecruiter doesn't stop there. Its powerful matching technology identifies people with the right skills and experience and invites them to apply to your job. So it's a winning formula. And the stat of the day, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the very first day. You want to take that step up in your hiring game? Give ZipRecruiter a shot. And given what happens now, can you meet people in person? You know, is it all over Zoom? You want to make sure you get that person that you can talk to. And you got nothing to lose because right now, try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. What are you waiting for? You got a chance? You got a chance to hire the right person, and ZipRecruiter can help you do that. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Download the DraftKings app. Use the code SQUAD. Get a free shot at millions of dollars up for grabs this weekend. Your first deposit. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Let's see. The Chiefs were the number one passing offense in the regular season. Only one team in league history has been the number one passing offense in the league during the regular season and won the Super Bowl. And they won the Super Bowl barely on a last second play. The 1999 Rams, Kurt Warner versus the Titans. Mike Jones on the tackle there. That's the last time that happened. Look, Kansas City could blow them out, but I've just seen enough times where you give somebody enough time. If you have the right personnel is really the key here, and that is these offenses tend to get muted a little bit. Not completely shut down, but muted. Go back to the greatest show on turf against the Patriots. Belichick said to his defensive backs, just be physical with these wide receivers. They don't like it. Let's disrupt their... I mean, Seattle, the Legion of Boom, implemented this during their successful run. Just be physical. They're not going to call pass interference on every play. We want you frustrated. The Rams, of course, decided to make Marshall Faulk a decoy in that game, which I never understood. But you can take him off the field like the Giants did against Jim Kelly and the Buffalo Bills, control the clock, play good defense when you need to, and limit them to field goals. Can you do it? It'll be difficult. You know, Kansas City, it feels like they are the better team, but I'm not betting against Tom Brady. It doesn't mean that I would bet for him. I'm not betting against him. That sounds like a Fritzy thing that I just copped out there.
Really did.
Yeah.
What is that?
I know.
Take a stand for crying out loud.
I'm sorry. Sorry, Todd.
Chiefs should win. They're better, but Tom Brady's on the other side, so you could easily see the Bucks winning too.
Yes, Paul.
Well, that's the move in sports media these days. If you're not sure, you don't declare the way you are. I could really see Patrick Mahomes having a bad game, remember last year, but at the end of the day, the Chiefs are going to win because then you've called both of them.
I'll take the Buccaneers. I don't need the points. I'll take the Buccaneers. How's that? I'll take the Buccaneers in the under.
Ooh.
Which means the Chiefs in the over will probably come through. Entertainment purposes only. And it's weird. I was thinking about this last night. Not that I was breaking it down, you know, like I was Dan Orlovsky or somebody. But I just, you know, you start to look at this and you go, Mahomes is unflappable. They got weapons. You got Andy Reid. My big concern is the offensive line. I said, you know, that was my concern. If I'm a Chiefs fan, that offensive line, because Jason Pierre-Paul and Shaq Barrett, you know, you don't have your starting tackles here. And those guys are going to be coming. And if you can do it without blitzing and just put pressure, then you got a great shot. If you can implement the same game plan against Aaron Rodgers with a quarterback on an MVP season, and the Packers with a better running back than Clyde Edwards-Helaire and a better offensive line, even though Bakhtiari was not in there, and they took advantage of that. But I've just seen Brady do it too many times. And so I would never bet against him. Tom Brady was talking about preparing for the Kansas City Chiefs and had this to say.
This is a game that's really going to challenge us. This team is a very tough team to beat. You know, they haven't been beaten in a long time. Got a great offense, got a great defense, really well coached, very good on special teams. So just try to chill on Sunday, you know, get your body, you know, mentally, physically, be in a good place to go out there and compete and get ready for a great game. So it's a long game. It's a hard game. You know, it's a long day, but you got to be ready when the ball's kicked off and we're going to be challenged. They're going to challenge us and we got to go answer the challenge.
I don't know if he said anything there, but he's really good at that. Jeter might be as good as anybody, although Brady might have taken the lead of being polite, nice, looks good on camera, but doesn't really say anything. And I remember interviewing Derek Jeter, and I'm going, oh, wow, man, he's a nice guy. And then you go back and you listen to what he said, and you go, he didn't really say anything. He just... Hey, you know, you got to respect them. We got to go out there and play hard and, you know, in between the lines and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm going, yeah, okay, yeah, all right. And then you go, he said absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. That's why it's rare you'll hear me ever criticize an athlete when he gives you a crazy soundbite or a goofy interview. Because there are times when I would say, you probably shouldn't say that. It's like Scotty Miller. As soon as Scotty Miller said he's the fastest player in the NFL, in my head, I went, well, there's a headline. He doesn't know it, but he just created a headline. But Scotty Miller hasn't been there before. You get younger players, and they want to entertain you. They want to say things. You know, Tom Brady realizes, just play football. Try to get out. He said all the nice things about Bill Belichick this week. Yeah. Verbal bouquets. Had a chance to pick up on Danny Amendola saying that Brady is the Patriot way. By the way, did you hear what Teddy Bruschi had to say about Matthew Stafford? Matthew Stafford, according to Tom Curran, who covers the Patriots, he said that Stafford said to the Lions, there's one team I don't want to go to, and that's the Patriots. And then Teddy Bruschi, the lifelong Patriot, came out and said, Matthew Stafford is not tough enough to be a Patriot. I went... I don't know, Teddy. He played for Detroit. Now, I know that Teddy apologizes for the Patriots, and you know, he's all in on the Patriot way. I get that. Probably still, you know, signing some paychecks there for him. But I don't think I'd say Matthew Stafford's not tough enough to play for the Detroit. Was Tom Brady tough enough to play for the Detroit Lions? Hey, come on. I think this sounds... Matthew Stafford, how many injuries, how many losses? I mean, the Lions for a decade? Like, dog years. Like, that's 30 years as a quarterback playing for a bad team in Detroit. Not tough enough. You know, if you want to say, you know, mentally he probably wouldn't have fit in or whatever it might be, but to say somebody's not tough, that's not good. Or when you say an athlete quit, that's not good. What if the Patriots, you know, if Matthew Stafford came in, would he have said the same thing? Boy, I'm really surprised, Matthew Stafford. I didn't think he's tough enough to be a Patriot. I'm going to guess Teddy probably wouldn't have said that. He would have went, hey, welcome to the family. Yeah, Paul.
It's the classic move. When someone turns you down, you throw dirt on them. You know, when I used to ask out girls in high school and they used to say no, I'm like, she's not that hot anyway.
Yeah.
I'd be walking down the hallway, tail between, like, she's not that good looking. Spurned again.
I did do that.
Oh,
I did that a few times.
She's not actually that hot.
I know.
You tell your friends.
Yeah. You know, I don't see what people see in her. That was always my line. But if she said yes, and then you're like, God, now I see what people see in her. Yeah. Yes, McLovin.
Okay. I kind of see what Bruschi might be saying. Now, forget physical toughness. Like, Stafford's just such a nice guy. Could he ever be a Patriot? Like, he's so... Has you ever heard him be impolite to anybody? He's just like... Like, he's not a killer, maybe. Is that possible, what he's getting at?
He just didn't want to go to play for a team that didn't have any weapons. He could have stayed in Detroit. And you don't want to follow Brady. That doesn't mean that he's soft. He's not because he didn't want to follow Tom Brady.
No, I'm just saying, like, through the years, when you think of, like, tough, mentally tough quarterbacks, Matthew Stafford is not the first person that jumps to mind because he never won in the NFL.
Joe Flacco is one of the nicest guys you ever meet. Did anybody say, you know, I don't know if Joe's tough enough? Joe Montana's soft-spoken. Steve Young. Did anybody go, man, those guys a little too soft-spoken for me?
Teddy Bruschi said all that.
Yeah, maybe.
But, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's something when you become a Patriot, you got to be ruthless.
God,
ruthless.
Stop.
You do. That's their thing. Belichick,
you know what you have to be? You have to be unemotional.
Yes.
You have to
be nice.
You have to just follow. You go in there and it's different than any other team in the NFL. Yeah, see.
I've never once looked at the Patriots as like just a bunch of ruthless killers out there on the field. Like Danny Amendola and, you know, Julian Edelman is just a savage. Like, I've never once. He was a nice guy when he came in.
Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, but there's like a killer mentality that Tom Brady just told somebody to stop effing crying yesterday in the locker room. That story came out. Like that mentality. Like he comes off as a nice guy, but he is an absolute killer.
I know, but to say Matthew Stafford's not tough right. enough with what he went through in Detroit, imagine every day you wake up and you get ready to play a game and you know chances are you're going to lose that game, but you still go out and you still play. And he put up good numbers in Detroit. I can't say, you know, that guy's soft. I just think that if you, let's put it this way. If you had Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce in New England, I'm going to guess Matthew Stafford would probably be tough enough to go there. Why would you go to New England? You're not going to win. You're not winning now. He's got a better chance with the Rams than he does the Patriots. How about I say, you know what? He's smart enough to not go to the Patriots. That would be what I would say to Teddy. Hey, Teddy, he's smart enough to not go there. The Rams got a better chance of winning than New England does. Yeah, Paul.
Or he's soft and he took the easy route to winning.
Okay.
Right. Stay with Teddy Bruschi.
Yeah. That's all. Yeah. Oh, okay, easy way out, you know. Didn't want to go through the grind. I went through the grind for a damn decade in Detroit. Yeah, see.
Right, if he was tough enough, he'd go up there where there's nobody to throw to prove himself.
Yeah. Yeah, like Tommy did. Hashtag Tommy. All right, play of the day's up next. Then I got to get to phone calls. Tony Dungy will join us coming up, and Terry Bradshaw will stop by as well. Back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play,
oh my God.
Of the day.
Runner left, I got it!
Check this out.
Long pass up the left side. Kisper fakes the three, gets a defender in the air, throws it in, and he's headed to the free throw line. What a play by Corey Kisper.
That's courtesy of Learfield IMG College. Gonzaga beats Pacific by 18 after trailing at halftime. Here's one for you. Since the start of last season, Gonzaga is 49-2. 41 of the 49 wins have been by double-digit margins. That is your play of the day. Play of the day brought to you by M-Drive, the supplement I take every day and took it about an hour ago. Powerful ingredients backed by science. I get energized, stronger, leaner. And you can go to mdrivedan.com today. Get free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with M-Drive. We have the most awkward scenario that could take place on Super Bowl Sunday. Yes, Paulie.
We were just discussing this. It's very unlikely. Right. It's extremely unlikely. Okay. But what if Roger Goodell had to hand out the MVP trophy or be up on the dais with the MVP, and the MVP was Antonio Brown of the Buccaneers? That's even more, it might be more awkward than, because he's done it with Brady, right?
Yes. Yeah, I was up there on the podium with there. Brady. Yeah. And it wasn't awkward from the standpoint of Brady was playing to the crowd. Like, he doesn't care about the commissioner. He's already won the Super Bowl. And the commissioner gives the Super Bowl trophy to the owner. He doesn't give the Super Bowl trophy. He doesn't. I handled the MVP honors where I give him the keys to the truck. But the commissioner is not going to have any interaction. Now, Antonio Brown could be on the podium and the commissioner would be there. But I'm going to guess the commissioner would probably be have tunnel vision with what he needs to do, and Antonio Brown would be playing to the audience there. But yeah, that could be awkward. Yeah, could be awkward. It's not any more awkward than maybe the most awkward moment where you had Al Davis and Pete Rozelle, and they didn't like each other, famously didn't like each other. Al Davis and the Raiders suing the NFL, and then Al and the Raiders win the Super Bowl, and Pete Rozelle is there and got to hand him the trophy. That was awkward. That was awkward. Yes, McLovin.
I watched a documentary on ESPN last night. The Raiders had these two safeties that hit people like on the set, like anytime, and they got taken to court. This guy Atkinson.
George Atkinson. And
hit Lynn Swann in the head.
And Jack Tatum.
And went to federal court, and that's why they won all this. They lost a lawsuit on this. Like, they were cheaters. Well, I mean, like, you know, they were so dirty. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, but did they take advantage of the rules or that there were no rules?
Probably the latter. So back then, like, their helmets were paper thin and they were clubbing each other.
Yeah. But that's, I mean, you watch old football and you go, oh my God, that's a completely different sport than what's being played now. Yeah, Paul.
They showed a clip last night from that. I saw a little bit. Jack Tatum of the Raiders, the safety, hits Sammy White of the Vikings in the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
He hits him in the chin, in the face mask. His helmet pops off his head. And Sammy White is quoted saying, I can't see. I can't wear my eyes. I can't. And he was out. There was no flag thrown on the play. It was not a flaggable play back then.
And I was a Vikings fan back then, and I knew that it was going to be a long day because the Raiders would take your lunch money. You know, the bully on the playground, that's the Raiders. They would show up, and you would just empty out your pockets. They didn't even have to ask for any money. You just did it. And I mean, when they come in, just that, like when you have an aura, think about teams in sports history. Georgetown with Patrick Ewing, John Thompson. You had Hoya paranoia, and it was real. You had the Raiders had that. There was something about the Raiders that you knew that owner would do whatever it took, and you knew that the cast of characters that they had were basically, you know, the land of misfit toys. and you had them, and somehow they made it all work. And they embraced who they were, what they were, and they had no apologies. Yeah, McLove.
But did that end up hurting them because anything they did had the microscope on them? Because in this court case, they showed all these plays where the Steelers and Joe Green would kick people and spit on them and cheat just as much.
Yeah.
Well, so Joe Green, I didn't know, was he a bit dirty or just...
Oh, terrifying? He was dirty. When he first started, because Joe nearly left the Steelers, he might have walked out on him. He just didn't want to play. Like, he was so competitive. And, you know, this is before he was doing a Coca-Cola commercial. And like that mean Joe Green probably would have, thrown the jersey really hard at the kid and knocked him down or something. But the fact that he was mean Joe Green, people were like, oh, my God, he's got a soft side to him. He used to kick people. He spit on people. If you were dirty to him, he was coming after you. I mean, Tony Dungy, who's joining us next hour, he would tell me stories that mean Joe Green was exactly that. He was, you know, and they were losing back then. Those first couple of years when Chuck Knoll got there and then they drafted Bradshaw, mean Joe Green comes in. They were still a bad football team. And Mean Joe Green was, I think very frustrated not having anything to do with that. Let me get a couple of phone calls. Caleb in North Carolina. Hi, Caleb. What's on your mind today?
AED 65250. Got two things for you. First of all, if the Chiefs win Sunday, where do you think this puts Andy Reid in terms of all-time NFL head coaches? And then second of all, just wanted to give a shout-out to the 1215 guys. They've been killing it. And I think 30 minutes for 1 week just isn't enough. Time to give them more airtime.
Thank you, Caleb. 1215 Club Podcast. Hey, I wonder why Marvin let Caleb through. Marvin is part of that with the Big German every Friday. Join Ario and Dylan, the graphics guy, and Marv. They recap the week. And this week they're joined by Chad from Traeger.
Whoa.
Chad from Traeger on the 1215 Club Podcast. Chad and his partner, Julie, have been here Wednesday and yesterday and making another feast today. And Chad from Traeger will be on the 1215 podcast here. We'll get more phone calls coming up next hour. Once again, we look forward to Terry Bradshaw. I'm going to get Terry to sing today. He can sing.
How are you going to get him to do that?
I'm just going to say, Terry, why don't you sing me a song? He's been at the Grand Ole Opry. I mean, I played the Garden, Madison Square Garden. I didn't sing at the Garden. I was playing the bongos with Hootie and the Blowfish. Like, that's one of those things you just say, and then you hope somebody doesn't follow up when I go, I played the Garden. Oh, you did? Yeah. Yeah. Back in 2019, played the Garden.
Resume builder.
Yeah. 1 hour in the books. Two more to go in this Friday edition. Seton Pauley, Fritzy McLovin, yours truly here on the Dan Patrick Show. One more item in the first hour. Ever wonder how far that extra mile really goes? Well, drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out. There's a network of over 250 authorized dealerships backed by a sales force ready to help you out with everything. Customize your vehicle, certified service, financial solutions there. They've got everything tailored to your unique business or personal needs. In a variety of powerful and efficient vans, they have the Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van, which we gave away, the versatile Mercedes-Benz Metris, each tailored to match your work or play lifestyle. There's cutting-edge options there. I love the MBUX voice command technology. You get directions, weather forecast, comfort control. It's a good companion to have. So whether you're enjoying life on the trail, working hard on the job, see how far that extra mile can really go. Take the first step. Go into one of those 250 authorized Mercedes-Benz van dealerships for a test drive today. Mercedes-Benz vans. Some equipment described is optional.